is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hope everybody had a great weekend as we welcome you into the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings alongside Michael Lombardi. I'm Stormy Bonantoni, producer Elliot Bowman running the ship. The calendar has officially flipped to July. So in addition to the hot dog eating contest taking over my life in 4 days, this means we have NFL training camps just weeks away and NBA free agency, baby. And Michael Lombardi,
the
Philadelphia 76ers optimist that you are. When you saw overnight, you wake up to the news that Paul George has signed a four-year, $212 million max contract with your team. What were you feeling?
I couldn't control I needed a seatbelt. I was so excited. We signed a 34-year-old guy who's going to make 50-some million at the end of his contract, and we're going to be in cap hell. And everybody's going to say, on paper, they looked fabulous. They look wonderful, right? They look great. Are they going to play all the games together? Good luck. Here's where we're going. Can I predict this for you? Where this is going. All right. They're going to have their moments. They're going to play a little bit, but we're saving them for the playoffs, and they won't get past the second round. You can write it down right now. They will not get past the second round because Big Boy will get hurt. He won't be in shape. You know, Paul George is 34 years old. He played a lot of games last year. Contract year. The 2 years before when the Clippers had him, they couldn't get him on the court all the time. Missed 30 games a year. So, look, I'm not getting pulled back in. I'm not Al Pacino getting pulled back in like Michael Corleone. No chance. No way. No way. No way. No way. It's a joke. This is all they know how to do is sign stars. That's all they do. Meanwhile, Isaiah Joe, who they had on the team for nothing, the Oklahoma City Thunder give him $49 million over a young player who could shoot threes. Okay, great. No, you're not getting me, Stormy. Not today, not tomorrow, not next month. Not even if they go through October, November, and December undefeated. You're not getting me. No way.
I could not help but laugh when I looked at your Twitter this morning and I saw no Paul George mention, nothing about the Tyrese Maxey extension either. No. It's the Isaiah Joe because of how you are from a team building perspective, right? You're thinking about the layers that have gone down with this Philadelphia 76ers team for such a long time. So for me, my first thought was exactly what you said. Are these players going to be on the court at the same time? Prior to this season, the past 4 years, Paul George missed 40% of the Clippers games leading up to this past year where he played 74 in a contract year. How's that work? Wonderful. But he, too, is somebody who, over this time with the Clippers, made the conference finals once in 2021. The 76ers, obviously, looking to reach the conference finals for the first time since 2001, have not won since 1983. And so with this, Michael, a lot of people on the surface are looking at this big three and the talent that these guys have and saying, this is the year. The odds movement already moved from 13-1 to 8-1 to win the NBA Finals. They also leapfrogged the Knicks in the East, going from plus 550 to 4-1 behind only the Celtics to win the Eastern Conference. Okay, if not Philly, who is the biggest challenger to the Boston Celtics in the East?
Well, I still think it's going to be the Knicks because I think the Knicks know how to play. They're tough. Now, losing Hartenstein to Oklahoma City, I think, gives them a clear advantage in the West. I really do. Oklahoma City has improved their team tremendously. You know, they've get Caruso to come in there to play defense, right, to go along with Dort. And they get Haverstein to come in there to play defense and to play, get them in a little bit of offense. I know he wasn't a great rim protector, but still, to me, I think the Oklahoma City Thunder in the West are really good. I still think the Knicks are really good in the East. And I did Mikal Bridges. I think it's a great move. I would have rather had Mikal Bridges than Paul George, which we had Mikal Bridges at one time, but we couldn't wait to trade him away. Where is my man? Where is Zaire Smith? Somebody get him on the phone, please. Yeah, we can have that conversation. Look, here's the reality. Everybody just looks at paper. Like, where is this team going to be? They're going to give Embiid this huge extension. So if they don't win a title in the next 3 years, you're a 76er fan. You might as well sell all your stuff because you got no shot. They're going to have no cap room. They're going to be with debt coming out, paying off Paul George, paying off Embiid, who will be hurt. I mean, does anybody not learn from past performance predicts future achievement? Mm-hmm. Like, you could say all you want about the 70s. Oh, I got him at 8-1. Isn't that a great number? Great. You sure that Embiid's going to be healthy? Because if Embiid's healthy, it's a great number. But are you sure he's healthy? Are you sure he's going to be able to play? Are you sure Paul George is going to be playing? The guy I'm happiest for today is Tyrese Maxey. The guy worked his ass off. He was picked 21st overall in the draft. He deserved the contract. He waited. He got it. He will keep working his tail off. I'm happy for him. Other than that, I don't think they moved the needle at all. I mean, is Tobias Harris not as good as Paul? Yeah, Paul George. But Tobias Harris showed up to play every week. He was there.
To go back to the Tyrese Maxey deal, by the way, it's 5 years, $204 million extension with the 76ers. George, 4 year, $212 million. So then you pair in the Joel Embiid of it all. Cost-wise, this big three, $629 million in contracts tied up with those three players. And again, to go back to the health, I mentioned the Paul George numbers, but Joel Embiid at 30 years old, because of the way that he is with his weight, because of the injury history he has, how much tread is left on those tires, we don't know. And so I think that's why, Michael, though, the 76ers don't mind signing a 34-year-old right now to whatever this contract is, because you have to, if you're going to do it, you have to do it now. And if Paul George is the missing piece, he's the biggest free agent on the market. Rich Paul and Tyrese Maxey waited a year to do this deal so they could have the money freed up to offer a guy a max contract. If not now, when? You wonder about this team. It feels like this has to work for Philadelphia.
Right. And so really my biggest complaint, it's not about anything other than the fact that I do not agree with Daryl Morey's strategy of how to build a team. That's the essence of my complaints.
Yeah.
It has been the essence of my complaints. He has great PR. No one gets better PR than Morey does. But yet I see no evidence of understanding team building, understanding team toughness, understanding team chemistry, understanding the connectivity of teams. I see none of that. And so for me, you know, when has the big three worked of older players? I mean, ask the Phoenix Suns how it's working. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant, older. You know, Bradley Beal, older. Devin Booker, young and good. How's that working out for them? Now, look, they signed Drummond to be the backup center. That's obviously an upgrade over Paul Reed, who's not a center, who's a power forward, right? And they bring Kelly Oubre back, which helps them. And I'm sure they'll pick up nickel and dimes along in the couch money. They signed another Houston Rocket, Eric Gordon. You know, we can't get enough Rockets on the team. So my complaint is with the team building. Like, I don't see a guy who prides himself in analytics and prides himself in being ahead of the time that find no players or build a team that's just basically you have to have three players that are of marquee value. I just don't see it. And it hasn't. When, tell me when it's worked since the Bosch, Jordan, Dwayne Wade time. When has it worked?
Yeah, well, and that's why, you know, developing Maxey and seeing him have the breakout season and the star that he's becoming has been important for the 76ers. If only they could do that more often than just one player at a time. For Kelly Oubre Jr., it's 2 years, $16.3 million. Andre Drummond, who returns to Philly, 2 years, $10 million. I did love he tweeted yesterday, in the mood for a Philly cheesesteak. Eric Gordon declined his player option with San Antonio. He joins on a minimum salary deal. And because he also said Tobias Harris, so he's gone back to Detroit, 2 year, $52 million deal. We thought Kirk Cousins was good. This guy is the ultimate bag getter, Michael.
If you had
to guess when this deal is done, career earnings for Tobias Harris, what would you think?
I don't really have to guess as much. He got 172 and he got 52. So he's looking at, he's at least at 225. I don't know what he was getting from the Clippers. So I'm going to say he's at least 250 over his career. He's made $250 million.
Michael, slightly over $300 million for Tobias Harris. Generational bag getter.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
That is
really remarkable. It's really, and not won anything and disappears when it's, you know, this is what I don't understand about the NBA. Guys are like, there was a guy today that got signed by the Pacers, didn't even play him in the series against the Knicks or the Celtics. I forget the guy's name. And he just signed a 3-year, $28 million deal with the Bulls. Like, he didn't get off the bench when it mattered, and he got $28 million. Like, this is what's happened. They've got to spend it, Stormy. Good for the players. Good for the players. The power of television. God bless them.
Is that Jalen Smith? Does that sound right? Who's this?
Yeah, I think it is.
Is that
right?
Okay, yeah. So it's just so much. So I want to make sure for a second, these last 2 minutes, we obviously talked the 76ers side of this. What the hell is going on with the Los Angeles Clippers? Can you give me your perspective on that side?
Yeah, I think what the Clippers are saying is, look, we've made our run. These guys are not getting younger. These guys are getting older. So what makes us think that we're going to be able to win with older players, right? They can't keep – and I think what this was about was respect to Kawhi. Kawhi took a three-year deal below the minimum, below the max. And I don't think – they know Kawhi is better than George. They know that. So they didn't want to offer a fourth year to George when Kawhi was on the third, and they don't want to give Kawhi a third. Because if they went ahead and gave him the third – this is a little bit like where Jerry Jones was – with trying to hire a defensive coordinator. He don't want to give out more years because he's got his head coach on a contract, and how does he look at his head coach when he's got this? So I think this was about, look, we towed the line with Kawhi, and now we're not going to just cave in to Paul George. And he was banging at the door. Look, I got all these teams that want me. You got to give me the fourth year.
Yeah.
And Ballmer, who's got more money than God, said no, because if I give you the fourth year, then I got to give him the fourth year, and I'm really screwed. I think, to me, he knows he's got a new stadium. They signed Derek Jones from the Dallas Mavericks. They put him in there, which was a good signing for him. He's not going to be as good as George. But look, let's face it. They never had those three guys together all the time anyway. They'll trade Westbrook. You know, he came in with his option. So it all won't be lost for the Clippers. I promise you that.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about the Clippers on the other side of the break. Also, producer Elliot Bowman sending us a great nugget here. $20,613 per career point for Tobias Harris. Most money in NBA history for a player without an all-star selection. Ooh-wee. Okay, we're just getting started here on the Lombardi Line. When we come back, the appointment list for Michael's office is set. Why these players and execs are in need of guidance only Michael Lombardi can give.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With our all-new NFL betting guide out now, there's never been a better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Our betting guide is your secret weapon for the upcoming season with in-depth profiles of each and every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems and betting trends, and you'll have all the tools you need to bet smarter this season. Plus, our experts, of course, share their top bets on season win totals, futures, and props, giving you the insights you need ahead of the year. To get the guide, though, you need to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. For a limited time, you can get an annual subscription to VSiN Pro for $199, usually $240. When you use our promo code Lombardi, not only are you getting the discount, but we're throwing in an extra month for free. That's 13 months of VSiN Pro access to everything we do, which includes the daily best bets, 24/7 video, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits, and as I referenced, our special edition betting guides, the NFL guide, out now. VSiN.com/subscribe is where you need to go, and use that promo code Lombardi for your discount. VSIN.com/subscribe.
The appointments are lined up.
You waiting for somebody in there?
Got an appointment.
And it's not about what you want to hear, but what you need to hear.
It's not personal. It's strictly business.
It's time you and me had a private talk winger. Step into my office.
It's Step Into My Office with Michael Lombardi. Mr. Lombardi, we'll see you now.
No sense in bearing the lead. Paul George, the first up in Michael Lombardi's office. The big news today, he and the 76ers agreeing late night, 3:30 a.m. Eastern time, to a four-year, $212 million max contract. Michael, what advice would you give the 34-year-old George as he begins his time with a Philadelphia team that's desperate to get over the hump?
You know, Paul, I think to me the most important contribution you can make to Philadelphia 76er basketball has nothing to do with points. It has nothing to do with assists. It has nothing to do with rebounds. It has everything to do with convincing the big fella to get in shape and convincing the big fella to try to stay healthy and off the ground, convincing the big fella to play a style that's conducive to everybody else and not have to hog the ball at the three-point line. What your contributions will be measured by, not by your points per game, not by your points per minute, will be, can you get him to buy into the program? Because he is one who has never bought into the program. He's been operating as an independent contractor, much to the chagrin of everybody else who's gone through that building. I mean, if you could only talk to Tobias Harris, he'll tell you. But since Tobias has made so much money, I don't think he really cares. So the reality of it is your contributions are going to be measured by how you get him to play and how you get him to be in shape and how you get him to become a professional. and not a guy who's always out of shape and always hurt. So, look, the window's very small, and this is a hard, hard town. And everybody's looking at this signing with a skeptical eye like I am, because you're 34 years old, and everybody understands it. Everybody understands that, you know, it's a time where you're not the same player you once were. But to get to where you want to go, you've got to make him the player everybody thinks he is. And maybe he'll listen to you, because there's been a lot of guys he's not listened to. So to me, as I watch you play, I'm really not going to see how many points you score or what assists you give. What I'm going to see is simply this. Can you get him to play better?
Well, and you know Joel Embiid wanted him, right? You think back to the NBA Finals where they're sitting on the NBA countdown desk, and Joel Embiid has the big eye, says, if we can add some pieces. So this is the guy that he wanted. The high expectations in Philly get even higher now. We'll see if things can come together. Philadelphia goes from 13-1 to 8-1 to win an NBA title, from plus 550 to 4-1 in the Eastern Conference. Now, this Paul George departure from Los Angeles also brings the trade between the Thunder and Clippers from 2019 back into focus. Here are the details. The Clippers traded Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Danilo Gallinari, 5 first-round picks and 2 first-round pick swaps to the Thunder for George. In 5 years with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, the Clippers lost twice in the first round, missed the postseason once, and had 1 West Finals appearance. Clippers owner Steve Ballmer is in the office. Does he need to reevaluate his team-building strategy after what has clearly been a failed experiment? No NBA titles to show for it.
Well, I think, Mr. Ballmer, I don't have to tell you, but your plan at Microsoft is the same approach you've got to take with the Clippers. It's got to be slow and steady. It's not going to be dominate the market. You've made your run. You went out and you got Kawhi Leonard, and then he wanted Paul George, and Paul George wanted to play for him, and you gave up one of the best young players in all of basketball to acquire Paul George and did not make it past the first round this year. So I think you're on the right track. You got a beautiful new arena. I think you got to listen to your basketball people and don't act impatiently. Right, you just signed Harden to a 2-year deal at $70 million for two, a $35 million a year, which is below what he was going to get in the market value in terms of a max deal. You'll get a year and a half out of him, and you're just going to have to continue to draft well. Look, this is not going to come easily to you. This is going to be hard. To win championships in the NBA, it takes veteran leadership, and it takes a sense of youth. And I think you've learned the hard way that it's just not all about acquiring stars as assets like you're in some hedge fund. By the way, Stormy, before we go to our next visit, Bloomberg News is reporting that the Boston Celtics majority ownership has put the team up for sale. So when you win one, it's time to sell. Time to sell.
That figure just got a little bit more pricey, didn't it? Let's stay in California, this next one. As Klay Thompson steps into the office, he has spent every season of his 11-year career with the Golden State Warriors, and it looks like the Splash Brothers is finally coming to an end in Golden State. What factors should Klay be considering when deciding where to begin this next chapter of his NBA career? Reportedly, some teams he's planning on having discussions with: the Dallas Mavericks, Lakers, Clippers, and 76ers.
Well, I think you got to go to where you feel most comfortable, Klay. Look, all good things come to an end, right? And I think that the Warriors have been fair to you in the sense that you missed 2 seasons. And then after your second injury, I wasn't sure you could continue to play in the playoff game where you didn't play very well. They brought you back again. So, look, there's no sense in being angry or bitter at the Warriors. Relish in the time, the 5 All-Star teams you made, the 4 NBA titles that you experienced, and go find a place where you fit very comfortably and know you can win. You know, there's no pressure on you anymore. You know, your numbers have declined, and probably because of the workload. But I think if you go somewhere where you feel re-energized and you feel that fountain of youth and you don't let the old man in, like Clint Eastwood told Toby Keith, I think it certainly can help you. And look, it's not about money. It's about going somewhere where you enjoy it and you can feel the camaraderie within the locker room, because that's all that matters.
I feel like if he really wants to win, the Dallas Mavericks, if he can be a catch-and-shoot guy on the 3-point line, like, that feels like it would be an awesome spot. The Warriors, 17-1 in the Western Conference, followed by the Clippers at 20-1, so 8th and 9th respectively there. Favorites in the West, OKC at 4-1, as well as Denver. Then the Timberwolves and Mavs sitting there at 5-1. Bronny James was drafted this past week to the Los Angeles Lakers with the number 55 overall selection in the second round, despite averaging fewer than 5 points per game in his lone season at USC. It's the first time in NBA history that a father and son will go on to play on the same team. Now, with this, obviously, there's going to be a lot of talk about how he got this opportunity naturally. How should Bronny James be approaching his rookie year with one of the most notable franchises in the NBA?
Well, I think how you got here doesn't really matter. It's what you do when you get here. That's all that matters. So what you have to show everybody is your commitment to working and your commitment to getting better. And you know you got to improve, because let's face it, if the Lakers don't take you at 55, you're probably going undrafted. You know, when you average 4 points your career at USC, you don't make all-conference in high school. I know you were a McDonald's top 30 player, but ESPN controls that, and we know the worldwide leader wanted you to get drafted. So, look, it's all behind you now. Now you have the opportunity, and you have to leave that at the door. You've got to work your tail off and show everybody that you can make some contribution. And the contribution that you're going to make as a 20-year-old kid is going to be simply work hard. You're not going to impact the game. I mean, maybe there'll be a game where you're on the court with pops, but it's going to be few and far between. You know, you're not ready to play at this level yet. You've got to get yourself ready to play. And the only way you can do that is through hard work. Because if you were ready to play, you would have gone earlier in the draft, and you're going to be in the G League. And I think you got to take that spirit of playing for the Lakers to the G League team.
You know, there are always going to be people that get their foot in the door for special reasons and special circumstances, but you said it great off the top. It's about what you do with that opportunity moving forward that's really going to establish you in your career. So we'll see what Bronny James does. One more here, final minute. Chris Paul has never been a free agent in his 20-year career, only available for a few hours before being waived by the Warriors. He ultimately ends up signing a one-year deal worth more than $11 million with the Spurs, joining Popovich and Victor Wembanyama. How should his mindset be entering the twilight of his career with a really exciting franchise that's up and coming?
I think this is all about setting a standard. I think, Chris, you've been there. You've seen good teams. You've seen bad teams. You've seen great teams. And they brought you in to teach these young players what it takes to be a great team. One thing for Pop to say it, it's another thing coming from a guy who's going in the Hall of Fame to say it. So really, this isn't about how many points you score or what you do. You're another coach on the court. And your 20-year career is going to be measured by what you give back to the team, not what you've gotten out of this year.
Present that veteran leadership, Chris Paul. Okay, we're going to hit the break. When we return, sportsbook director Thomas Gable is going to join us on the Lombardi line. Does he think, and do bettors think, the 76ers could be the biggest threat to the Celtics in the East? We'll go behind the counter with TG on the latest NBA moves, as well as the NFL looking ahead to 2024. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Make this NFL season your best ever with our all-new VSiN NFL betting guide. This thing is jam-packed with everything you need to bet the NFL smarter this season, including in-depth previews of all 32 teams with win total projections for each, new quarterback and head coach breakdowns, Super Bowl predictions, a prop betting guide, plus best futures bets from the VSiN experts, including MVP, Rookie of the Year, and Coach of the Year awards markets. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or you're just getting started, our NFL betting guide is your ticket to more informed betting opportunities. Visit VSiN.com/guide to get your copy now. VSIN.com/guide. Now, part of the exercise for all of us working here at VSiN as we put together this guide is Adam Burke, managing editor at VSiN.com. He tasked us, all 21, to go through and make picks on every division, wild card teams, who we thought were going to make it in, who's going to be in the conference championships, the Super Bowl. And there's this giant, like, spreadsheet-like file that is in there where you see everybody's picks. And so today, Michael and I are going to break down our division picks in the AFC. In hour two, we'll do the NFC. And it is pretty interesting. So we'll share with you kind of how it went through in the guide, who we picked and why. And Michael, let's start with you. Go through your AFC division winners on paper right now.
Well, I started out in the AFC. You know, I like the Bills, and I know it's a chalky pick, but I really like the Bills. I think the Bills with Josh Allen, like everybody gets so caught up in Stephon Diggs. Oh, they lost Diggs. They're a 12 team now. They're going to be, you know, Dalton Kincaid's going to be the main guy. He's the third receiver. They got by with other receivers. They ran the football effectively late in the year. They looked better as an offense. I mean, actually, you know, they were the best team against the Chiefs. So defensively, some concern in their defensive front for me, but I think it's enough. Miami hasn't proven they can play physical enough for me to think they can win the East, and Miami hasn't won late in the season. I mean, you know, I think, what are they, 4-10 in Mike McDaniel's career as a head coach of the Miami Dolphins since Thanksgiving Day, so I'm not going there. The West was easy. I didn't have the guts to pick the Chargers, even though I'm not in love with the Chiefs. I think they have work to do. But to me, and I think by them having work to do at minus 230 is a number, right? Mm-hmm. I think to me, if they were like, you're talking about Super Bowl defending champions at minus 230. That's not a really ridiculous price if you just know it's going to happen, right? And I don't know it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen. But I think because of Mahomes, I'm going there. Plus 145 for the Bengals, I like them. I think the Bengals can be better defensively with their improvements with Geno Stone at safety, along with bringing back Von Bell, their defensive front with Sheldon Rankins being healthy inside for them, who they signed from the Texans. I think that certainly helps. And I'm trusting Joe Burrow to make plays and be healthy, which he wasn't at the beginning of the year last year, and then he wasn't in the middle of the year. So that's that. And then, to me, I threw a dart at the Colts. I really don't know who's going to win the South. I don't think it'll be Tennessee, but after Tennessee, I'm not sure who the best team is, Stormy.
That's fair. And yeah, I see you put the Colts there at a plus 310 price. You are one of just four people to select Indy in the guide this year. I'm on the Texans there. There were nine of us that had Houston. The other eight were on Jacksonville. And we've talked so much about Trevor Lawrence, and the turnover issues for me are something I really struggle to get over. And I just don't feel like Jacksonville, with some of the pieces that they unexpectedly, in my opinion, lost this offseason, are a team that can really make another run. I just really like Houston, and I'm excited for their future. But I agree with you that that's a division that kind of felt up in the air. Same thing with the AFC North. That was an even split from our staff. 10 took the Bengals, 10 took the Ravens. I'm on Baltimore's side of this. Mike Somich, interestingly enough, the lone wolf to pick the Browns. And in the AFC West, I'm with you in the AFC West and the East. I grabbed the Bills and I grabbed the Kansas City Chiefs here. Kansas City, in addition to being the defending Super Bowl champs, two times running, on a ridiculous run of eight straight division titles dating back to 2016, everyone in the guide except for Jonathan Von Tobel was on Kansas City. He took a shot on the Chargers, which I know we talked about this last week, but I do think that's interesting because every single year there's at least one team that goes from worst to first in their division. You picked the Cincinnati Bengals in the AFC as your team to do that. JVT going with the Chargers. And I do think that that's a team that could take a really interesting step this year with their new leadership and the difference in mentality and culture. The Chargers are a team I'm very excited about this season.
As I am as well, and I think they'll improve on the over total there too. I think to me this, what we lose sight of when we do these predictions is that 50% of the teams that made the playoffs the year before don't come back and make them again.
Yeah.
And so you've got to find, of the 14 teams, you got to find seven or at least six that aren't coming back again. Who are they, right? And so I think to me that's where I always try to, what are the new teams coming in there? Because that fourth place schedule does make a difference. I mean, it really does. And when you can pick up a couple, like the Chargers, they've got what, Carolina? They've got New England as out of conference, mm-hmm. You know, out of conference. The Chargers, the Panthers, and then the Patriots in the same level in the conference. So they can win those two games. Plus, you know, who says the Raiders are going to be this good of a team? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, so there's a chance they get that over total. So I think you just got to think a little outside the box. And it's so hard to do it for me specifically in July when I just haven't seen all these things come together. But I'm going to go with coaches more than I'm going to go with anything.
And a couple things that we asked TG about at the end of the block, the Buffalo Bills, a team that, as far as the guide goes in selections from our staff, people weren't particularly interested in. We were two of just five people in the 21 that were polled to make their selections that chose Buffalo in this spot in a division that's clearly, you know, very compact at the top in terms of odds. The Buffalo is the favorite there at plus 170. The Jets plus 190 in Miami, 2-1. Nine people choosing the Miami Dolphins and being high on this team. And we talked so much about the struggles and challenges that they had beating good teams last year and the way things fell off the rails when Tua Tagovailoa didn't have his full complement of weapons to distribute the ball to. And now you have the questions this offseason about his contracts and his body with how thin he is. Is he going to be able to hold up? I think there's a lot of legitimate questions in addition to the talent defensively they lost and hoping that you can get some of those guys back healthy too.
Yeah, and new defensive coordinator, too. I mean, look, they hired, you know, we hire a new defensive coordinator who's never, who's, you know, has Anthony Weaver was a defensive front coach. So it's always been a little bit, are we sure that's going to work out? I know they're happy that Vic left, but the players in Philly are happy that Vic's there, which tells you a little bit of something, right, that you're concerned of. So for me, I just couldn't, I can't get behind the Miami. I mean, you have to respect the fact and Miami that Miami falters down the stretch. And the fact that they have to play some really challenging games in November and December on the road, they have to be in Cleveland and they have to be at the New York Jets at the end of the season when we know they don't play well. I think that's that tells me a lot right there.
Let's dedicate these last couple minutes to your Indianapolis Colts pick, especially with producer Elliot, you know, at the controls today. We want to make him a little bit happy here. I think the big question, and TG even said it, right? Serious bettors have been making picks and putting money on Indy this year with a belief that Anthony Richardson, after missing 12 games last year with the shoulder surgery, is going to come back healthy and have a season worth of those flashes we saw last year that he looked so special. Like, what's your expectation for Anthony Richardson, period? We've seen a lot of the videos of him. He looks like he's good. He looks like he's healthy. I feel like all of this year is really contingent on him and how he performs.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it is. And I think, you know, the one thing you have to say about Anthony Richardson is, and if you, you know, we had Chris Ballard on the podcast, and you know, he made it very clear about this as well, is Richardson sees himself as a passer. He's not a runner. That, whereas, and this is not disrespectful to Jaden Daniels, Jaden Daniels is a runner. Jaden Daniels is going to throw it, but if it's not there, he's running. Anthony Richardson wants to throw it, and he's got a powerful arm. He can make any throw. They didn't have Jonathan Taylor. So if you like the Colts, what you're saying is the addition of Jonathan Taylor, who they didn't have last year, the addition of Anthony Richardson, two key players in their scheme to go along with where they are with the re-signed Michael Pittman and having their offensive line intact, they're going to be better offensively. And then the concern for me is always their defense, right? They signed Pay, they extended, they picked up his fifth-year option to give him a rusher on the outside, and then they drafted Latua from UCLA to give him another rusher on the outside. So, you know, to me, they've really improved their front. Now, are they good enough at corner? That remains to be seen. I think that's the question mark. But look, they're an incomplete pass away from beating the Texans when the Texans were riding high, as well, as high as anybody could.
For sure, a play away from winning the division with Gardner Minshew, right? When you have Anthony Richardson, if he's healthy and actually becomes the star that many think he could be, it could be a special season. Colts win total set at 8.5. Again, their price in the division plus 310 to make the playoffs plus 140. The one thing with Richardson for me that I just thought this was crazy when I first read it was that since his first season in Florida in 2020, college football and NFL combined, just 17 career starts and 265 completions. There were 20 quarterbacks in the NFL last year that had more completions than Richardson has had since 2020. He needs that experience. Hopefully he can stay on the field healthy to get it. We'll be right back, resetting with Hour 2 on the Lombardi Line coming up next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Make this NFL season your best ever with our all-new VSiN NFL betting guide out now. The guide is jam-packed with everything you need to be more informed as the NFL season approaches. We've got in-depth previews of all 32 teams with win total projections for each, new quarterback and head coach breakdowns from the executive and trend perspective, Super Bowl predictions, a prop betting guide, and a whole lot more, including, of course, best bets from our VSiN experts for props, season win totals and awards markets, MVP, Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year, the list goes on. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or just getting started, our NFL betting guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed betting. VSiN.com/guide is how you can get your copy now. VSiN.com/guide. We're wrapping things up here on the Lombardi Line. We do have more NFL divisions that we want to dive into. Our picks from the guide, which again, out now, get in there while you can. But we have some big news in the NBA. And Michael, this is a deal that actually, I believe I saw in the commercial break, perhaps a smile on your face. Like, it was a move that you liked. We're finally moving on from the Philadelphia 76ers of it all. And something interesting happened. So Klay Thompson has officially moved on from the Golden State Warriors, signed with the Dallas Mavericks.
You know, I think I'm becoming a Mavericks fan. I really am. I'm enjoying them. I like them. I like Luka. I think Kyrie's emergence as a changed human being is remarkable. But, I mean, think about it. The Mavericks, P.J. Washington didn't shoot the ball well in the playoffs. And Klay, who we know can shoot threes, he's a spot-up three-point shooter. The double teams that were coming at Luka, the double teams that were coming at Kyrie, we saw them, and they just couldn't make those three, whether it was Derrick Jones or whether it was P.J., they weren't making them. Now they get Klay, who's going to be left pretty much alone. So they trade out Derrick Jones and Josh Green for Klay and Nigel Marshall. I think they've upgraded their roster. I like the Klay signing. 3 years, $50 million. It's a sign and trade. They have to send Josh Green. I think they send him to Charlotte. And so I don't understand how it all works, but it works that way. They got one guy going that way, the other guy not getting anything. But anyway, they make it work, and Klay ends up in Dallas. So much for LeBron taking less, okay? Let's understand it. LeBron was going to take less money so that they could sign Klay.
Yeah, reportedly had a phone call with Klay, and it didn't work out for him to stay in California. He wants to go somewhere else, where to me, from a fit standpoint and a desire to win standpoint, Dallas is probably the best spot. Like, not that he wants to stick it to Golden State for not giving him a contract, but if you want to and you want to win and you want to show them what they're missing, I feel like Dallas is a great spot. And you talk about the way that Luka and Kyrie play and the way that they're going to be defended. He can just stand pat at the three-point line, catch and shoot, and be that guy. Like, even though his numbers, yes, have taken a dip, he's still a really effective shooter who knows how to play with a star. And he's going to be on the court with one in Luka Doncic. He knows that this is your show, and I'm just here to do what I can to be that missing piece for success. I love the addition for Dallas. I think this is great. It'll be fun. And this is going to be a better version of the Mavericks now with him on it than what we saw there at the end of the NBA postseason.
Yeah, let's hope so. So, this is so many moving parts before we get to the summer league, but I like this move for the Mavericks. I really do. Because there's very few moves that you watch, that you listen to, that has the team really improved. Like, I think San Antonio has really improved. I think, obviously, they're going to get older with Wemby, and then they add Chris Paul to give them some leadership. So I think they're improving. I think Oklahoma City has definitely improved. I think with the additions that they've made, re-signing some of their own and adding Caruso and adding Hartenstein, I think that certainly has helped.
Not a ton of odds movement with this happening about 5-10 minutes ago, but from plus 500 in the Western Conference to plus 475, a slight move there. OKC and Denver, your co-favorites at 4-1, but the Dallas Mavericks right there on the edge. Okay, last little bit here. Let's get back to the NFL. Earlier in the show, we broke down our division picks in the guide for the AFC divisions. Now we're going to do the same exercise in the NFC. And we are very simpatico, it appears here, Michael. We are 4-for-4 the same in our division picks. I don't know if that's a good thing or a dangerous thing. But here, why don't you go
first?
Oh, well, I mean, well, they're the same,
first.
Michael.
I went first the last time.
They're the same.
But let's
can go through it.
Yeah. I mean, how could you? I think Pritch was right. Like, I don't trust that. I think Dallas overachieved last year. I don't think they underachieved. And I think Philly's roster is really good. And I'm not saying Philly's going to win everything, but I just have a hard time believing Washington, the Giants. I mean, those are teams that are just not ready to compete with the Eagles or the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys, when you don't win on the road, that tells me your offensive line isn't good enough. Yeah. And so I just couldn't go there with two rookies potentially starting in the offensive line for the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's a division of the haves and have-nots, absolutely. And the Eagles should have won the division last year, but obviously we know how things fell apart at the back end of the season. Cowboys win. There's not been a repeat division champ in the NFC East since 2004. And, looking at the guide and the selections here, it seems like we're all pretty much in that thought process, which is why Philadelphia has taken so much money and gotten down to the price that they're at even money. 18 of our 21 experts, hosts that have put their opinions opinions in here. We're on Philly, just 3 on Dallas. The NFC West, minus 195 the price. I'm not going to the counter rushing to bet the San Francisco 49ers in the NFC West, but I do think that they're going to win again. I think that for as high as I am on the Rams for getting better this season and taking another step from what ultimately ended up being like a year we thought was going to be a rebuild year, they win double digits and make the playoffs last year. Seattle is a team I know you've talked a lot about, and we did today on the show as well, that's improving. And with Mike McDonald, that defense should be, you know, at least a good chunk better than we saw last year just from his guidance and leadership alone. But I don't think that they're there in the division just yet. So for me, it's San Francisco. That's the only real option in the NFC West, in my opinion, as according to the guide as well. That's pretty much across the board how everyone feels. And I landed on Detroit and the Saints in the NFC North and NFC South. And you did as well, obviously, but I'm curious your opinion on this for the Saints specifically, because as Mike Pritchard said, he feels like that division, even still with the Falcons as an odds-on favorite, is just throwing a dart at a dartboard in this division. What made you settle on New Orleans?
Well, I settled there because I think defensively they're the best team. I think they proved it with 4 out of 5 wins. They go into Tampa at the end of the year last year and won that game. I think Dennis Allen is a better defensive coordinator than he is a head coach. I admit that, even though he's still the head coach of the Saints. I just think, to me, they'll have a better opportunity. You know, and I think, look, their offensive line has to be better than it was last year. And Carr, who I call the Ricky Fowler of the NFL, when it doesn't matter, he plays great. When it matters, it's not so good. And that always makes me nervous. But the reality here is, you know, who is good in the South? Like, that's why I asked Pritch, throw a dart up against that board, because I don't know who's good. And I was going to go with the defensive team, and I'm going to go with the, you know, now I think they got to get Kamara under contract and get that situation handled. But I do think their offensive line improving, and they should have enough weapons on offense to be successful.
No love for the Bucs in the division, it appears, who have won 3 straight division titles, including last year, their first season without Tom Brady. Baker Mayfield led them to not only a division win, but a playoff win against the Philadelphia Eagles here. 5 people, including the 2 of us, were on New Orleans. Everybody else on the Falcons, with the exception of Wes Reynolds, who picked the Panthers, but nobody on the Bucs to win the division yet again. And the NFC North, I think, is interesting, too. I agree with everything that we were talking about earlier in the show, with that that's a division where there are options, and that Green Bay is certainly a team capable of being on the rise. A lot of people like Chicago and believe that Caleb Williams can be a big piece of turning that organization around with the weapons that they have around him on offense, and a defense that seemed to take a big step forward at the end of last season. But Detroit, for me, is still the team to beat, coming off of what was their first division title since 1993 last year. I am such a believer in everything that Dan Campbell has done to turn that franchise around. Jared Goff and that offense should be live again to put a ton of points up on the board. And if their defense improves a little bit, like they worked on getting pieces in that secondary, I think they're going to be very, very competitive and tough to overcome in the division.
Yeah, I was back and forth. Do I go Green Bay or the Lions? And I felt exactly like you felt. I felt like the battle tested, you know, you have to win a home game. You just don't go from a playoff team, from a first time playoff team to the Super Bowl. I think it's really challenging. So I think you need those residuals to build up as you go through it. And I kind of felt like the Lions game against the 49ers gave them that. And so for me, I went Lions over Packers. I went back and forth. I think the Bears are going to be way too young to compete there, so I didn't give them. And Minnesota, I just don't know what to expect offensively from Sam Darnold or J.J. McCarthy, depending on who they go with in their offense. But I do like O'Connell, and I think they'll be better. But I went Lions with you there, too. To me, it was a toss-up. In the South, NFC South, I just felt like, to me, you know, nobody's going to think it's the Saints, so I went with them because I think they do have a good defense, and I do think that if Carr plays within himself, they have a chance.
Yeah, no doubt about it. To wrap up those thoughts on the NFC North, just from a historical standpoint for those interested, the Lions won last year for the first time since 1993. Minnesota won in 22. Green Bay, prior to that, won 3 straight and 8 of 11 before missing out on the division crown each of the last 2 years. Obviously, all of those seasons with Aaron Rodgers. Can Jordan Love help this Green Bay team to take that next step? Lions plus 150, the Packers plus 210, and the Bears plus 265 in the division. Not a soul picked Chicago in our betting guide, despite those odds, which are pretty short there at the top. That's a wrap for us today. If you didn't get enough football, the Ross Tucker Football Show is coming up next on DraftKings Network, and Patrick Maher and Sharp Money on VSiN.